Views. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we'll be talking to Kyle Gross, president of Bishop O'Gorman Catholic Schools, and Matt Althoff, chancellor of the Diocese of Sioux Falls, about how the schools are handling the pandemic and also about Teacher Appreciation Week. But first, we are introducing a new segment to go along with our new music, in case you didn't notice that at the beginning. Dr. Chris Bergwald, our resident theologian, will be on hand each show to look at the scripture readings of the day and explain those strange little cultural references that make us all say, "What in creation does that mean?" So here in the studio is Chris with the inaugural Biblical Bites with Dr. B. Welcome, Dr. B.
Well done. I was curious to see how you're gonna manage the Dr. Chris, Dr. Bergwald, Dr. B, Chris.
We're just going with Dr. B from now on.
Oh boy. Okay. I'm really excited about this segment. Thanks for having me. Yeah. I am excited. So often, Renee, and listeners, you'll see this as we go through. There's so many times when you go to Sunday Mass, and if you're like me, you've heard these readings maybe for a few decades. But if you read them, or if you listen a little closer, sometimes what?
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't know. And what I want to try to do in this little segment that we'll be doing each week is address those that you're not like, oh, well, I don't know, but oh, and I make it come alive. Now, this particular Sunday, the readings are actually pretty straightforward.
Oh, darn. So if you,
well, Renee, you watched Mass already. You know that, don't you?
Of course.
Right. So we're recording the few days before Sunday. So if you have already watched Mass or heard the readings, they're pretty straightforward. But there is something as I was preparing, like, oh, there's nothing like really like super intriguing. There actually is something that I do want to take just a little bit of time this morning to talk about. So the first reading at Mass is from St. Peter's speech on Pentecost. So St. Peter, who denied Jesus, but then Jesus rises again, he sees him, I'm sorry, forgive me, there's this whole thing that happens in John's Gospel. But then in Acts, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured, dumped on Peter and the other apostles, and Peter gets up, Acts chapter 2, and gives this powerful, basically sermon. Mm-hmm. To all the Jews and other people in Jerusalem, but especially Jews from all over the Mediterranean world, and tells them this is who Jesus was, and we've seen him, and he rose from the dead. So just to read a little bit from the first reading, I'm not going to read the whole thing because we won't have time to read it and unpack it. But Peter starts. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ this Jesus whom you crucified." When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, asked Peter, "What do we do?" "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then he testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who were accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. So that's quite a homily. That's quite a sermon. 3,000 people respond. What did Peter say? Well, you can read Acts chapter 2 and get the whole sermon, but Renee, the thing that struck me is he testified with many other arguments.
Right.
Now, at Thanksgiving dinner, what are the two things you don't talk about, Renee?
Politics and religion.
Right, exactly.
Ever.
But I think he testified with many arguments. So there's a couple things I think that maybe we could think about here. Peter gives up and he's clearly bearing witness. I mean, this is like a fisherman for the Jews in Jerusalem. This is a fisherman from the backwaters.
Right.
He's from way up north. He's one of those Galileans, you know, the Hicks from the Sticks kind of thing. But now he's standing up boldly and clearly, and they've seen the miracle of the Holy Spirit descending as tongues of fire. So they see a supernatural manifestation. They see this Hick from the Sticks fisherman who's proclaiming in a powerful way the good news of Jesus Christ. But so there's sort of the witness of his faith. But it also says, Luke tells us, Luke, the author of Acts, that he testified with many other arguments. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that he got in. When you think of argument, what do you think of?
I think of a fight.
Right, exactly. Now, and my kids took a logic class a couple years ago, and Dad, that's actually a quarrel. Like when you have like an argument in that sense, the better term is quarrel. Mm-hmm. An argument in the best sense of the term is, okay, this is what I think and this is why I think it. Right. And with all due respect, this is why you're wrong. And
Renee,
Renee and I have these conversations all the time. That's why you're wrong, Renee.
Wow.
No, but argument, not so much necessarily refuting, it can include that, but at least this is my position and I'm going to marshal some evidence. I'm going to, like you said, a debate. Can we do that with our faith? Can I marshal evidence, facts from my own life, from what I know, from my experience of God and living as a Catholic, as a Christian? Can I offer arguments to those around me for why maybe Christianity, Catholicism is worth considering? I was struck by, I'll let you talk here in a moment, don't worry.
It's totally fine. You're fine. This is your deal.
I was deeply struck, and that's partly because it's my nature. I mean, I've loved to argue. My high school classmates from forever ago, right? Could tell you, Chris loves to argue. My parents could tell you, Chris loves to argue. Not quarrel.
Right.
Argue.
Defend.
Explain.
Yes.
St. Peter himself in his first letter said, always be ready to give an explanation, a defense, mm-hmm. for an account for the hope that is within you.
Right.
So I one little nugget that I think it passed me by the first couple of times I read this reading, preparing for this new segment, but this little nugget, we should always be prepared to give some evidence, to give some account, some reason for the hope that is within us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something a lot of us don't think about, is that we can actually learn enough about our faith to be able to have a defense and actually talk to people about religion and be able to argue it.
In the best way.
Yep. Yeah.
Not like, you're right. Right. You're wrong and I'm right. Right. But
argue it with love. How about that?
Argue it with, that's a great way to end this inaugural segment of Biblical Bites with Dr. B.
Yes. I love
Argue for your faith with love.
Yes. That is perfect. Thank you so much. And we look forward to more weeks with you. So better be good.
See you next time.
All right. On we go with our interview. All right. I want to welcome to Catholic Views, Kyle Gross, president of Bishop O'Gorman Catholic Schools, and Matt Althoff, the chancellor of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
We're doing well.
Good. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how the schools are doing amid the pandemic and how you've adjusted. So, Kyle, as things were getting a little interesting in Sioux Falls and in South Dakota, and you started to see things were going to change, what was your reaction to that? What was going through your head?
What's interesting is that we were in the midst of working on our emergency school response operations manual. And as I was watching it from afar, and actually what was happening in the state of Washington perked my attention to where that needed to be accelerated a little bit, not knowing what we are dealing with today. So we were actually in the midst of already discussion with our principals and making adjustments for our pandemic plan. We had something in place back in 2009 and 10, but to be honest with you, we hadn't really looked at it in detail until just, 3 months ago. And so as we were digging through that, then as I continued to watch the news and observe what was happening, and then of course when it started hitting closer to Sioux Falls and you start seeing tournaments being canceled, mm-hmm. it became very real very quickly for us. So a little bit of divine intervention that we had been working on it and talking, and actually on the day that Governor Noem had first asked us to close, that Friday the 13th, mm-hmm. we were just finalizing what we believe our distance and online e-learning would look like from PK through 12. And so with that announcement on the 13th, we quickly adjusted to where we are at the following week. We brought all of our principals and our staff together on Monday and Tuesday. We used our two built-in snow days to finalize our details. And then we had a pre-scheduled spring break in there, which was going to be held over the state tournaments, which never did occur. That allowed our principals to really go to work and get things fine-tuned. Now, we felt really good,
right?
But then the reality hit when we actually delivered, and we were in really good place there, and we were, I believe, very prepared for our families. But what we weren't prepared for is that we went after it really hard, in the sense that we provided way too much and it overwhelmed our students and our parents.
Yeah.
So we had to quickly, after week one, adjust. And what I find throughout this whole process is that we are constantly adjusting week to week. Probably within the first 4 weeks, we did a lot of adjustments. Now I think we've kind of found a little bit of a sweet spot to finish up our school year here on the 15th with online instruction. But it wasn't without a lot of trial and error and adjusting. We knew that we wanted to move forward, so we made sure that our plan kept the integrity of our academics in place while we had to quickly adjust and say, okay, how much is too much? And what can we expect mom and dad to do to help from home? Mm-hmm. And what can we expect older kids to do on their own without the support of a teacher right beside them in a classroom, but yet right. behind a screen?
Right. Have you seen, has it been difficult for some parents to really to handle that at home, especially if they're working from home, or has it been pretty good for most?
I believe if I had to generalize how we approach this and living it right now, probably K-1 and 2 might be the most challenging age group for us and for the parents because it requires more intensive work by mom and dad,
right,
as well as with us as our teachers. Don't get me wrong, the intensity from third grade on up, but I believe it's really starting to soften in terms of the kids being able to do a lot of it on their own with some direction from mom and dad, maybe a little more self-sufficient. We certainly see that in the upper elementaries. I have a third grade daughter, and my children right now are at home. I have a kindergartner, a third grader, a sixth, and an eighth grader, and they really are, the third grader on up, the other two, they're working on their own. And we just come home at night and we check. Now, I can't say that's the case for all of our families, but I kind of got the sense of what is a third grader looking like and how are they handling it mm-hmm. versus K-1 and 2, because I have a kindergartner. And so I have to work with that kindergartner, my wife and I do together at the end of our workday. Right. And so we recognize that if you are a parent with a kindergartner and a second grader, you're working, you're realizing at the end of your workday at 6 o'clock at night, you're sitting down and you're spending some time with them. So it gets to be a grind for mom and dad too.
That's got to be difficult. I know that I talked to a few parents and teachers for the bulletin article that we have for May, and some of them were really struggling with the younger kids and had to really adjust their schedules. So they're working with them in the evening yep. or even on the weekends rather than during the day because they couldn't juggle that with work and so on. But you know, sometimes you just adjust.
You do. And that's what we also did. We quickly adjusted from saying, hey, let's, by the end of the week, we want the parents to sign off on what they did and submit it to the teachers. We actually moved it to Sunday night. So they had the weekend. Mm-hmm. So you got your learning board on for elementary. You have received the learning board on Monday and you had till Sunday night because that gave them Saturday and Sunday to help. Yeah. As opposed to somebody saying by Friday night, my goodness, we've just been working all week. We're trying to do this at night. So that's part of the learning that we took in making the adjustments there. I do believe that our teachers and all of us, principals, president, students and teachers, we've all gotten better, become better educators with this process. So there's a silver lining on this. And I think it will propel us going forward in the future when you talk about even future snow days.
Right.
There may no longer be such a thing as a snow day.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
And that's to be seen.
The kids might be kind of disappointed by that.
That could be. And probably teachers too. Yes. We had some preliminary discussions about this. Again, believe it or not, in August of 19, we talked about this with the Department of Education. We had inquired ourselves as a school system. And we just talked to I talked to our teachers of the President's Advisory and said, what do you think of that? You know, what if we did do something like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them said, well, we kind of like our snow days. So it is a give and take, but I do think that it does propel us in a different direction, which, you know, I'm not saying it overtakes, but if you say the max you can do is maybe 3 online snow days, that really helps like a school system for us where we don't have to worry about trying to fit that in at the end of the year or take right. away a holiday that we had already pre-scheduled.
And that's the thing. If the kids know you're not going to lose your holidays and you're not going to be going to school until June, mm-hmm. you know, they might think, okay, I'll do that then.
Yeah. So I think there's some real beneficial things. As terrible, I shouldn't say terrible, that's a bad word. As difficult as this situation's been, there are some really good things that we're getting out of this too.
Yeah. How are the teachers holding up?
I think we know the stress level's high there. So mm-hmm. I know our principals are working overtime to try to help alleviate that. You know, they're constantly meeting weekly with their teachers to adjust. Just as much as we're adjusting for the students, we're trying to adjust for the teachers. So the teachers don't feel overwhelmed, because the challenge that I see in listening to our administrators is that if you're a teacher, but then you have kindergarten, first and second at home, you're educating your 120 some kids, but then you also have, if you're a high school teacher, for example, you also have your own children that you're working with. Mm-hmm. So we recognize that. And so how can we make that comfortable, a little more comfortable for them, because their stress level, it's certainly palpable and we recognize that. So we're trying to find ways to ease that.
Sure. Are the schools doing anything else for parents and kids besides educational during this time?
We're trying a lot of things. We've done a lot of parades. We've done a lot of virtual things. They've had St. Michael's has done some really neat things. We had a parade at Catherine Drexel. We have as a system. What we did was after about 2 weeks of living in this pandemic world, we quickly shifted and say, okay, we want to be forward thinking. We want everything to be positive messaging. And so we've really tried to create with our communications department how to brighten up their day through social media. Mm-hmm. Dress as knights, show us pictures of your e-learning. They have theme days in elementary. And so they've had a homegoing week. Homestaying week for high school. So there's a lot of creativity they're trying to do. Videos have been created to help promote positive messaging. So those are some really things that you're seeing uniquely done in the school setting. And it's not just unique to Bishop O'Gorman Catholic Schools. You're seeing that across the state. And I'm sure in our Catholic schools across the state, they're all finding ways to, it's more than just the academics, because what we've stripped away from our children is the joy of school with academics.
The community.
Because the pandemic has forced us to focus on only academics. And we're trying to bring back the joy of what is school beyond just the books. Yep. And so that's been a unique challenge. But boy, the creativity that you see out of our teachers, out of our principals and our schools is quite amazing.
That's awesome. So Matt, what is the diocese doing from the diocesan offices to help the schools out?
You know, I appreciate the question. It's the best you can in remote situations. If there's a redeeming truth that's come forward in this process, it's unequivocally that we're social beings and that to be a hermit is truly a vocation, right? This isolation is real. Kyle mentioned the stress on teachers. Isn't that a beautiful thing when you look at it from this reality that there's stress because it's imposed concern? They care about the kids. They derive affirmation from their observation of the kids achieving. They really reflect well through their witness and their ability to interact in virtue, charity with people, young persons, entrusted to their formation. So that stress is really, number one, it's palpable. And number two, it's just such a beautiful thing, its origins. And so I just, in that recipe, there's some just fabulous examples. Kyle made allusions to a lot of great examples of just, the parade and some of these things that are creative genius coming forward to attenuate or at least speak to edify that desire, that longing to interact in a more normal way. I just really marvel at the of course, Kyle has a great privilege of overseeing, and there's a collegiality built into that because he's got the 8 building principals that directly report to him in addition to staff members there at his central office. And that's not always the case for our diocesan schools. Many of them are standalone parochial schools in elementary level. So that's what I feel my responsibility has been, to try to create a sense or foster a sense of community so they don't feel all the more isolated. And of course, in a principal situation, they're trying to do the same thing for these same teachers, to foster that sense of family. We're in this together and the like. So that's been my primary focus. Mm-hmm. I would say that it is another area has been to alleviate some of the financial concerns. And so very, very grateful how much our diocesan offices have been able to assist parishes and schools. And true to the administration, where there was explicit accommodation provided for religious nonprofits, that some of the things that came forward in the CARES Act, these entities are also eligible for. So that's been, helping on the administrative financial side, and then just trying to be a support system and show best practices, best innovations, as we'll call it, in these irregular times, so that people can feel a sense of that community and persevere on through this.
Have parishes been able to keep up their religious education in this time?
Yeah, that's something I'm not as well prepared to speak to, but I will say that is absolutely the challenge too, because, there is even in our Catholic schools, I know Kyle and I had this discussion before going on air today, that there are those homes where for all kinds of great reasons, this learning from home through electronic or technology means it's not well suited for it. That household isn't. And so there are definitely those individuals that there's a grave concern that, kids can be falling through the cracks. You accelerate that many, many times forward, almost exponentially, when you go into kind of the inherently diffuse nature of religious education, mm-hmm. where you meet once a week, you know, you come together and there's not as much sort of attendance driven mm-hmm. kind of mechanism. So my heart goes out in really profound ways to our directors of religious education. And the same is true. Bishop has enlightened me to this reality. The pastor's longing is no different. It's the connectivity with parishioners and seeing them and longing to see familiar faces and gaining the encouragement and persevering in faith themselves by seeing these beautiful faith-filled families that enter the churches on Sundays that they haven't seen for 5 and 6 weeks. So
they definitely miss them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
It gets probably kind of old saying Mass to an empty church.
Some of them are very good at it, though.
That's probably true. Yeah. So, Kyle, I know it's Teacher Appreciation Week this week, right?
It'll be coming up here, I think, the first full week of May. Yeah. Traditionally is teacher. You know, we have Teacher Appreciation Week. We've always taken the mantra of Staff Appreciation Week because we include all. But, yes, I that's coming up here very quickly. And I know that our principals are looking at what can you do in a virtual situation, in a distance situation to recognize and do right by our teachers and staff for the great work that they're doing.
Yeah.
So there's some behind the scenes work going on there. I don't know specifically what that is for our principals, but we met Monday and I know some of them had some plans in place and they didn't necessarily share at large, but they know they want to do something to recognize the work that's being done by those teachers and staff members.
So there's some plans going on to get some of those things done.
Absolutely.
Good.
There is,
good.
Yes.
Because you'd hate to miss that. They've sure been working hard in a whole different way than they ever did before. So
yes.
They deserve some recognition.
Right. Absolutely. Now. And, yeah. And you know, you talk about, you know, the other piece I think that is a challenge. It's two ways. You want to care for your students and you want to be there. And the tough balance is, you know, when do you turn it on, when do you turn it off? Mm-hmm. And it's doubly troubling, probably for a mom and dad that are teachers and caring for their classroom and students is how do you turn it on and off? Because as I mentioned before, you're teaching during the day or whenever it is, they might be making adjustments and they're communicating that with their students and then they're doing that with their own children. So where's that time of I can decompress a little bit? And so that's we want to recognize that. So I think with the Staff Appreciation Week and what we're doing there, some unique things that can be done to help recognize them.
Good. Well, we look forward to hearing what you guys will do and maybe you can send me some pictures. Well, that'd be great. Let us know what's happening.
Well, and we certainly want to try to do that. Absolutely. Yeah. And we've got some people that can get pictures to you.
Yep. That'd be great. And I hear you had an extravaganza recently that went a little different than last year or normal years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we Suzanne Gale and her team have done a tremendous job. She's our director of development. We've held our extravaganza. For those who are not familiar, some people would call it a gala. It's a large event. It's one of our large system-wide fundraising. And we've had to rework it around a blizzard. And now she can add working around pandemics.
And that was a blizzard in April then, is what you're saying.
It was late March is what we had. But yes, we have in the last 3 years worked with some really interesting scheduling. So we were scheduled to hold that April 4th, but we put that on hold and we did a virtual extravaganza event on Saturday, April 25th. We started April 18th with some silent auction items. And then we had our high school assistant principal, Alex Anderson, and our high school band director, Ben Koch, serve as the MCs for the virtual event and Facebook live streamed that also through YouTube as well. And it went off very, very well. Again, you talk about trying to be MCs to an empty auditorium with maybe 3 or 4 people laughing at your jokes.
It had to be a little weird.
You kind of get a little appreciation of what happens with the late night talk shows, how you're trying to get that without really the reaction of the crowd. But they did a tremendous job. And again, the work behind the scenes by Suzanne Gale and her team of getting it ready and get it set up. And we had a dollar amount in our mind that was adjusted from our budgeted that we started with. But what happened on Saturday night is that we hit our original budget line item and maybe went above and beyond that.
Wow, that is great.
I think it speaks to people's generosity. I think it speaks to the support of our Catholic school system, mm-hmm. the great support shown in the Catholic community of Sioux Falls and beyond that, just to the greater Sioux Falls area of how people are willing to rally and help at a time of need.
Yeah, and the importance of how people see that Catholic education and how critical it is to them. And we want to make sure that gets supported.
Absolutely. So we're tremendously blessed, and we haven't got the final numbers, but as I alluded to it, the original budgeted line item number, we believe we hit that and exceeded it.
That's great. Now, is this the extravaganza that Bishop DeGroot was auctioned off for a dinner?
Yes, it was. Right? Yes, and his
I
dinner.
Hear that went
a
well.
Dinner with the bishop was auctioned off. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry,
we did not auction the bishop, just to be clear. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me.
But it did, and he should be incredible. I mean, his ability to have that there, his... came across great, and yep. He had a tremendous response. And
that's what I hear.
He should be very proud. He helped us out immensely with offering the opportunity to have dinner with him.
Well, there's lots of people who haven't met him yet, so I'm sure there's a lot of pent up desire to get to know him out there. So that was good. I'm good. I'm glad you were able to do that.
He did confide in me that he's going to have to up his hospitality skills given the price that's been paid.
See, it's got to be worth the price of admission, right?
Yes, sure.
Well, thank you, Matt and Kyle, for coming in today. I really appreciate it. I hope things continue to go well and we can get back to school in the fall and everything will be back to normal as soon as possible.
We do. We're going with the mindset that we believe that our school year will start on time.
Good.
It's not to say that we won't do some pre-planning in case, but yeah, we're hopeful. And as I always say, knock on wood, as long as we trend in the right direction, we can get ourselves back to an adjusted normal.
Right, right. It sounds great.
Could I just beg of you just one opportunity to do a quick unabashed commercial?
Of course.
Bishop DeGroot, in his recognition of this difficulty Catholic schools are facing, they're used to gathering weekly, if not more often, for Mass. So that we're going to be doing a online or a virtual all-school Mass, so all 23 schools of the diocese will be invited. It'll be happening this Wednesday. So May 6th at 9 a.m. So
yes, we'll be live streaming that on our YouTube channel and on the website.
So sfcatholic.org, thanks to your team, Renee, make that available. But just trying to help, again, foster that there's so many students that are in the same, and obviously our peers in the public schools going through the same thing. But unique to Catholic schools is the phenomenon of the school Mass. And so we're going to do Bishop has generously and excitedly kind of jumped at this idea. So we're grateful for that.
That'll be great.
9 a.m. on Wednesday.
Great. All right. Well, you can read more about how the schools and their parents are adjusting during the pandemic in the Bishop's Bulletin, which should be in your mailboxes, maybe even now or very shortly. Join us again next week for more Catholic Views.